Blog Talk Radio.
Singing that song about the American nation.
Hi, you boys and girls. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party Book.com. I was watching Glenn Beck tonight, and he had an audience that was about 70% women, mostly mothers, and they're very concerned about what's going on in the school system. And I think you're going to see more and more parents pulling their children out of school. I don't know what they can do. I really don't. They're like trapped. They're financial prisoners of a communist public education system. It's brainwashing 101. That's what it is. There's no patriotism being taught. There's no love of God and country being taught. There's no melting pot theocracy. They talk about a melting pot, but they don't have a melting pot. They have a division pot. And they won't even teach a division except to split the people. And they're also against multiplication. And they can't wait to pass laws limiting your 1.2 child to 0.2. We have sent a collection of tax junkies to Washington. And all they're doing is ripping off the treasury and lining their pockets. There is more stealing going on in Washington than all the GCC countries. I had a guy in today, he's Italian, he's telling me the government is a bigger mafia than the mafia he grew up in. And I said, yeah, I know. If you want to place a bet today, you have to call the governor in New York. Unbelievable. Right? And now they're gonna legalize weed so they can tax it. And I heard poor Michael Medved, and he had on his show a junkie who was authoring a book saying marijuana can't hurt you. Yeah, he's a full-fledged junkie. Yeah, and he says there's no proof that marijuana is a gateway drug. Well, let me tell you something. All you got to do is take off a Friday, from Friday evening, and go sit in an emergency room and see what comes in the door that used to smoke weed, and see what Jones they're carrying this week. Yeah, drugs is the enemy of the people. 1 out of 5 Americans is a junkie. And this clown, this liberal schmuck, who's making money on a book being published by the Communist Party of North America, is telling the world that 40% of Americans smoke weed and it doesn't bother them at all. And that there's no correlation between smoking weed and drinking. No, maybe not, but let me tell you something. There's a big correlation with doing Guinness and cocaine. And there's a big correlation in doing champagne and cocaine. Yep. So pot is a gateway drug, and the only way you can beat drugs is never do the first one. It's like a cancer. Once you've got one cell in your body, it will consume you. Say no to drugs. No, say F you to drugs. I would have loved to have gotten a hold of that twerp who's putting out that propaganda, that marijuana propaganda for the Democrats. See, all the Democrats smoke pot. That's why the country's going to pot. Republicans don't smoke weed. Republicans only breathe pure air. And you believe that, I'll tell you another one. I would have loved to have called in on that jerk and told him my theory that I believe that first-time marijuana users should get the death penalty. Oh, I know that's draconian. I know that. In about 3 weeks, we're going to lose a lot of friends and relatives. But I'll tell you something. Mom can leave her purse on the kitchen table again. She doesn't have to hide her pocketbook when Junior comes in. Junior the junkie. The deck is stacked against America. It's unbelievable. We have sown the seeds of our own destruction. About 5 years ago, a guy came to see me, and he's a very religious guy, and he participates in a lot of church activities. And at the time, I was admiring him because of his contribution to the propagation of the faith. You know, there's a lot of talkers, but there's very few doers. See, I'm a talker, but I'm not a doer. But I know me. See, when I look in the mirror, I can recognize myself. I got a sign over my mirror that says the BS stops with this image. So I admired this guy, and I was telling him about somebody I know who had a daughter who was almost a nun, and she was a very beautiful girl, and she got burned on a relationship. Which wasn't too heavy, you know, nothing where we're going to take off our clothes now and move in. She was sincerely looking to build a marital future. And the guy turned out to be a mamaluk. If you're Italian, you know what that means. I just learned it recently. I always say if I was Italian, my name would be Luke. A mamaluk is a mama's boy. And it turned out this guy was in love with his sister. He didn't have a mother. But at this time, so that relationship went south. And I said to this guy, I said, "Where, you know, there are more nuns walking around today than are in convents, and you don't know it." And you don't see it, but there are girls, they don't want to go to the bar and trot out the beef for jerky. They don't want to be a ham hock. They want, you know, they're looking for that romance which has been ruled out by Hollywood. See, when I grew up, Cinderella found Prince Charming. You know, Sleeping Beauty found Prince Charming. Everybody lived happily ever after. But in Hollywood today, all they're doing is cutting them up with chainsaws now. And when Prince Charming finds Sleeping Beauty, he cuts her up with a chainsaw. So, of course, we're doing a Mondo Cane to the 10th power, and everybody's living like dogs. They're breeding like dogs. As a matter of fact, dogs got more class. And dogs got papers. We got a president that don't even have papers. And somebody just sent me a picture of this president in being enrolled in Indonesian school. And his nationality is Indonesian. So he's lying to the Indonesian authorities. And his religion is Muslim. So he's lying to the Indonesian authorities. And they tell me in this email that I got that he went to college on a Fulbright scholarship through the government of Indonesia. How's that? And the last time I heard somebody mention a full of crap bright scholarships, 25 KGB agents in 1 year came to Columbia University on Fulbright scholarship. And in exchange, we sent 25 schmuck students to the Soviet Union to learn how to turn against their country. Yeah, what an exchange. But apparently Obama has no papers. His papers are not in order. Your papers, please. Are you the president of the United States? Are you born here? Where were you born? Were you born in Indonesia? Or your Kenya? Where were you born? Oh, it doesn't matter. See, we won that one. We got over on the American people, and that law is gone. The only laws that will be enacted now are the ones that we promulgate. Yes, and the Constitution, you know what you can do with that piece of trash. We've won. We're in charge. We hold the House, the Senate, and all the judges except for two. We even have Olympia Snow. From the communist state of Maine. Watching a movie last night, and it's Taliban, and the CIA with the eye in the sky is getting ready to send a drone over to take out the Taliban, and there's a 51% chance that it may not be a good hit, because they're attending a funeral. They're all carrying AK-47s, and they're attending a funeral, and they're bringing the coffin to the gravesite. And then they opened the coffin, and the guy says, "Well, Mr. President, we don't think we should take the hit because this might be a funeral." And it's the best time to take the hit. This will be a funeral upon a funeral. And the president in the movie calls for the hit. And the wimp that didn't want to make the hit, he hesitates. He hesitates in giving the command. The president says it's a go. I like that movie, President. And you know what? They were opening the coffin. They pulled the coffin out of the grave, and they were opening the coffin. It was probably Stinger missiles in there. But you don't see that because there's a big cloud of smoke and everybody's gone. And that's the way to win the war in Taliban land. So back to my story about the religious guy. And I said, where does a girl, besides a bar, where does a girl go to meet Mr. Right? Meet a decent guy instead of something that the cat dragged in. And he said, well, you know what? I used to go, they have like a little side chapel in my church. And people can go all hours of the day. and they take an hour, and they pay their respects to God, and they're trying to run it around the clock, so there's always somebody praying with and to God. So he says, I was praying in there one day, and I come out, and a girl was going in to pray, and guess what? I said, what? I said, she became my wife. And now we have a child on the way. So I met my wife in church. Going good. He says, I'm still active in the church, and not as much, but he goes, after I divorced my first wife and kid, I said, oh my God. Oh my God. The devil even gets the good ones. We know he's going to get the bad ones, but he even gets the good ones. Where is a person to turn today? What happened? What, did they break the mold after they made me? Am I the last, the decent American? Oh, you don't know, right? How sad. You don't know. And I didn't say anything. I didn't show any emotion. How sad. Hang in there. We'll play a mournful tune.
A long, long time ago, on graduation day, you handed me your book. I signed this way, roses are red, my love, violets are blue, sugar is sweet, my love, but not as sweet as you. We dated through high school, and when the big day came, I wrote into your book, next to my name, roses are red, my love, violets are blue, sugar is sweet, my love, but not as sweet as you. Then I went far away, and you found someone new. I read your letter, dear, and I wrote back to you. Roses are red, my love, violets are blue, sugar is sweet, my love, good luck. May God bless you. Is that your little girl? She looks a lot like you. Someday some boy will write in her book to roses are red, my love, violets are blue. Sugar is sweet, my love, but not as sweet as you.
So, what are you going to do about your government? You're going to give all that power, all three branches of the government, you're going to give it all to one party? You see what they've done? They've run amok. They are now the run amokies. They can't be trusted. They can't be counted on. They don't even read the laws that they propose. They put them all in a big hodgepodge. They give you 1,000 pieces of paper. They don't know what's in it, and they're going to pass it. And they're going to pass it through you. You're going to be the filter. Strike back. Get rid of them all. Spare no one. Fire them all. This is the time to do it. 2010, take them all out again. No more terms for termites. Let them all go looking for work. There wasn't one politician at that Michigan plant closing when those people who were walking away from the rest of their lives, fighting back tears, hugging their friends a last goodbye, they'll never see each other again. No camaraderie tonight. They're out there. They're in the desert of unemployment. And there wasn't one politician there to give them solace. There was not one politician to put his arms around them. They're all phony bastards. They all got to be fired. They're killing the farmers in this country. They're killing the moms and pops. Their biggest enemy is moms and pops. They hate the mom and pops. You know why they hate the mom and pops? Because mom and pop don't have to give them everything. They would have to raid their houses and go into the basement and see the safe. Blow the safe open. Which they'll probably pass legislation in about 8 years to do that. They'll call that a search and seizure, and the S will have a dollar sign. Yeah, you think about that. And the liberal world is all upset that Roland Polanski is going to be deported by the Swiss to come back to the United States to file to face charges of skipping town on a rape charge. And the only guy that's speaking out against Roland Polanski getting off the hook is Sean Hannity. Roland Polanski, what a piece of crap this guy is. He's typical Hollywood crap. He sums up the total net worth, the total net moral worth of Hollywood. He's a piece of crap. When he was 44 years old, he raped a 13-year-old girl. He drugged her. This is the same guy who wasn't home to defend Sharon Tate from Charles Manson. He wasn't doing his homework, but he does homework on other people's children. And the girl says she forgives him. You know what? She can forgive him all she wants. But God's not going to forgive him. He's going to be burning in hell with Ted Kennedy. But, you know, before he goes to hell, he's going to create a lot of hell. But all the liberals are all rallying around him. And Poland, what's Poland doing appealing for a lighter sentence? Poland, you're about to go back into the Soviet bloc. You better wake up. Osama bin Laden has sold you out in exchange for that he can become the 50 mom. Yeah, Poland, you got other fish to fry. You had a pope and a president that got you free. And the Russians are getting ready to bring you back to slavery. And you're not going to be able to fight back. Let me tell you, if the Russians come for you, get out. Come to the United States. That's what all the other defeated countries do. They all come here. We got plenty of room here. Bring the whole country of Poland right here. We'll take them all. Let the Russians have Poland. And maybe they'll legalize drugs there and they'll name the capital Krakow. Yeah, they're going to legalize drugs here because they need the revenue. They need more rehab units. They don't have enough rehab units. That's good business. Chuck Schumer's in that business. Yeah, you know what? If Chuck Schumer, if they had done that Acorn scam long enough, they would have caught Chuck Schumer, because he believes in slave labor, especially if you're Filipino. Yeah, Chuck is not a friend of Cubans or Filipinos. The only friend Chuck has is the god Mullah. He worships Mullah. As all Democrats do. And aren't you tired of watching Nancy Pelosi sitting up there cracking up? Sitting up there, the third most powerful person in the United States. Yeah, and your children don't have a chance. Your kids are all going to Gestapo school. I once saw a movie about the Hitler Youth in black and white on the silver screen. And this kid was turning in his parents. And he was reluctant to turn in his parents. Not because he loved them. And his mother and father looked like they could be his grandfather and grandmother. They were old. They were worn out from being brainwashed. You know, like every day they showed Hitler on the radio. They played Hitler on the radio. Every day they had to go to the Hitler speeches. Pretty much like Obama's speeches. What's he done, 137 speeches to the average president's 31? Yeah. Why don't they just leave? You know what they're going to do? They're going to make his picture a test pattern on the TV screen. You think I'm kidding, huh? You wait and see. NBC will be the first one to do it. They'll have a black peacock. Yeah. And Chris Matthews will be the female peacock. Because he has a fine comb. God help this man. We're in trouble. What was I saying? I've lost my train of thought. I just bounce around. It's like radar off the sun. Let me play back what I said, and I'll refresh. Yes, I was talking about the young schoolboy who went to public school, and he was a member of the Hitler Youth, and he was turning in his parents to a Gestapo officer, the principal. And he was reluctant to do it, not because he loved them, but here was the question that he asked that gave an indication of what his biggest concern was. The Gestapo principal said, do you have something to tell me, Jaime? He says, yes, Feldmarshal Gruppführer. I am afraid to tell you. He says, Jaime, you don't have to be afraid. We are the Gestapo. We are very friendly people. We love children. He says, well, if I tell my parents, they have a shortwave radio. They listen to the BBC. Oh, Jaime, this is very good that you're reporting your parents for breaking the law. Where is the shortwave radio, Jaime? That is my concern. If I tell you where it is, will you take away my uniform? No, Jaime, you can keep your uniform. As a matter of fact, Jaime, you can keep the house where your parents used to live. Think about that. Yeah, Jaime was a good little Nazi. Let me give you a tune to lighten up your heart. When you hear this tune, I want you to think about all the politicians who sold you out. I want you to think about all the politicians who are making money on your taxes. I want you to think about all the politicians who lied to you that wouldn't even give you a town hall meeting. I want you to think about all the politicians who discard your email, who throw your letters in the garbage. I want you to think about the politician that you elected to represent you.
Search for tenderness, it isn't hard to find. You can have the love you need to live. But if you look for truthfulness, you might just as well be blind. It always seems to be so hard to give. Honesty is such a lonely word. Everyone is so untrue. Honesty is hardly ever heard, and mostly what I need from you. I can always find someone to say they sympathize if I wear my heart out on my sleeve. But I don't want some pretty face to tell me pretty lies. All I want is someone to be.
I heard today that General McChrystal said that he's been in Afghanistan for 70 days and he's only talked to the President of the United States once. So that means he'll talk to him five times in a year. Now, this McChrystal's calling for more troops and it's falling on deaf ears. The Taliban are warming up. They've had time to regroup. They have retrained in Pakistan. And when they come this time, they're going to come with a lot of Pakistanis. And if McChrystal needs 40,000 more troops, he should have them tomorrow. And if you got to bring the draft back to fight this war, let's do it. But you will never see that done. Not with this regime. This junta that's running downtown Washington. That's the extent of their power. Downtown Washington. That's it. They live in another world. And they're going to get a lot of people killed. And if the casualty rate in Afghanistan starts to climb, watch out. And never forget, this guy, Bin Laden, every time he takes a step, it's with a heavier foot. What we're witnessing here, the arrest of this guy Zazie, and this guy over here, and that guy over there, that's nothing. That's chicken feed. You know what that is? That's a little icing on the cake for the suckers. When Bin Laden strikes, you're not going to know it. You're not going to know it. What you're watching here are amateurs. They're like trying to be, they're like cheap hoods trying to become made men in the mob. They're trying to impress the Godfather. And that's what you're watching here. And you see how quick the lawyers were to come to their rescue. Those lawyers should be getting the same sentence as those terrorists. But these people are nothing. When Obama comes, he's going to come heavy. So you better give McChrystal everything he wants. And McChrystal is sending a message to the entire House and Senate. You're not going to hang my boys out to dry. You're not going to pull the rug out from under us. If you're going to pull the rug out from under us, you better pull us out now. Because we're not going to, this is not Vietnam. And I heard some turkey talking today. Some Afghani called in. I'll bet you the guy wasn't even Afghani. You know, the Afghanis haven't done anything in the United States. And I hope that we don't see one Afghani in this terror list. Because that's not their style. That's a Saudi style. That's an Iranian style. The Afghanis are tribal fighters. And they like their own country. And they don't go out of their way to kill people in other countries. And I believe they can be dealt with. And McChrystal may have the way of doing it. But he's not going to get a chance. I'll tell you what's going to happen to McChrystal. He's going to get relieved. And they're going to put in what appears to be a tougher general. But it will be appearances only. They can't handle McChrystal, and they don't like what he says. He's making them look bad. And he don't care. He doesn't care. He's not going to play the political game. He's a military man, and he wants a military objective accomplished. And he's not going to let these armchair generals back in Washington fight a war that they don't have to shed blood in. So say a little prayer that McChrystal gets everything he wants and he has the key to success. And that's the guiding rule. Is it good for the country? It should be the first thing that you ask yourself when somebody proposes something. Is it good for the country? Is it good for the troops? Is it good for your children? You look at a 15-year-old boy today, in 3 years he's eligible for the draft. There's no guarantees that the draft will not come back. All you got to do is have our allies array against us and start to inflict heavy pain. And you'll see a draft come back. My biggest fear is that we won't have enough time to muster and train. That because everything moves at lightning speed now. And this Ahmadinejad Jad. Everybody goes after Ahmadinejad. Ahmadinejad is not the problem. Ahmadinejad is just a mouthpiece. He's a puppet for the people behind the screen that are pulling his strings. Look at those mullahs. They're the ones who are the ones that got to be taken out, not Ahmadinejad. They're worse than Ahmadinejad. And if Obama only has talked to McChrystal once in 70 days, why doesn't he take a little time off from going to Copenhagen and getting a free basketball and go visit McChrystal and sit down face to face? Why doesn't he fly into Kabul and meet with McChrystal face to face? And you know what? He should take his czars with him, and he can use them as bodyguards. And all these politicians that are making decisions that affect the life and limb of every fighting American who have no skin in the game shouldn't be allowed to cast one vote. While we're on the subject of no skin in the game, apparently down in North Carolina, a Cherokee warrior was killed in action in Afghanistan, and his body was coming home for final burial, and the local, a restaurant chain, I think it was a restaurant chain, took the American flags away from the front of the store because they didn't want to show any partiality to the Taliban. And it was a bank, and it was the Bank of America. So they removed the American flags that the Cherokee people in the town had put along the road so that they could all line the road and pay their respects to the incoming hearse. And the Bank of America had the flags taken down. How's that? And so the Cherokee Council, what they did was, they went into the Bank of America and they pulled all their accounts out. How's that? And how come we're not doing it in sympathy with the Cherokee Nation? How come we're not doing it? How come we're not standing with our brothers, our blood brothers, our warrior heroes? How come? How come? Because we just look the other way. Is that it? If we were at the trial of Jesus, would we have looked the other way? Would we have tried to catch the 30 pieces of silver? How come we don't stick together? How come we're more divided as a nation than ever before? Who worked their magic on us? Who turned us into patriotic eunuchs? They wouldn't even allow a Marine Corps flag over the San Francisco Bridge. How come there wasn't a 10-year motorcade over that bridge with nothing but Marine Corps flags? How come? How come we don't stand up anymore? How come we're down on our knees?
Yeah.
Hang in there, boys and girls, and we'll give you part two of tonight's show. Let me find out where we are here. There we go.
Hi, you boys and girls. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book at .com. Somebody sent me this. I thought I'd share it with you. It says, "Dear Tom, we all knew that this was coming, and now it has. At 11:30 a.m. this morning, Senators Barbara Boxer and John Kerry introduced the U.S. Senate's version of the National Energy Tax." And I responded by saying, "This is good reason to collect more money from the American tax sucker. After watching the 911 sorties raise the price of oil from $10 a barrel, which was the going rate in 1998, the tower crushers then added a jihad tax of $60 to fund killing Americans all over the world with the help of the UN and the ACLU. Now the DNC Party of Death to America wants to add their cut to fund abortions of Americans only. The revenue will offset the losses they are incurring due to rising unemployment, lower home values, increased drug rehab, and the closing of mom-and-pop stores after the last manufacturer is fined out of business." So Boxer and Kerry are the culprits. And Boxer insults black businessmen in committee show trials. And Kerry Boo rules Massachusetts from Stavos, Switzerland. I call him John Stavos Kerry. He holds Hollywood's coat, while the VC give John McCain the Jane Fonda workout. Meanwhile, in the Hindu Kush, Americans are dying unsupported. And in 10 months, the body count will beat the entire Bush body count for 8 years. The party of death logic is, if we send 40,000 more troops, then 80,000 will die. It is better we only lose 40,000. The Bush count was 561, and it won't be Obama's fault. It is our fault. We let this takedown of America happen. Back at the communist ranch, Obama bin Laden is flying to Copenhagen to get the Olympiads killed in Chicago. His wife is taking a smaller jet to cut down on global warming. They are going to race to Denmark, and they have railroad ties. I wonder what the games will be like in Chicago. What new events will be listed? One, a condom fitting during the 100-yard dash. They tried it last Olympics, but only on the Nigerians, and it failed. Two, women beating and burqa fitting suggested by the Iranian team. Three, a Palestinian plane hijacking and helicopter blowing up. Four, deporting Cuban kids who swim too good, introduced by the Clinton, Kennedy, Reno, Schuma export team. Five, acorn planting with Freddie Mac and Barney Frank. Six, making IEDs in Damascus with Bashar al-Assad, Nancy Uday Pelosi, Bill Banzai Nelson, and Little Henry Dillinger. And Little Dennis Kucinich. I'm cracking up. Seven, American flag burning, starring the 48 senators and 125 Viet Cong grease mice who voted to let it be desecrated 40 days before 9/11. Eight, American baby killing. They're going to beat the American record of 1,400,000 per annum. The goal is to be the daily kill of 3,836, and we're going to go for the gold on this one. We're shooting for 4,000 dead American babies a day. Nine, weed whacking to heroin hurdles. Now that one out of five Americans is a junkie, we gave up smoking in bars. If we can legalize it, can you imagine the tariff windfall we'll have? And 10 is the eminent domain decathlon. Seize a citizen's property for the good of the in crowd and pay them loose change and then flip it. Hang in there and I'll give you a tune, and when I come back we're going to talk about a wrongdoing.
Into your grave when the music's playing.
Can you imagine this? This is the headline in my communist rag. It's the first time they've taken a patriotic stance. I'm in total shock. And it's even on the front page. And the headline is, Navy vet fired in flag flap. The Staten Island ferry sacked a deckhand who insisted that Old Glory get pride of place on the boat. And he clashed with a captain, who I now consider a petty officer. And what's sad about this, on a technical misunderstanding, that this captain fired this guy who was a trainee. But I'll read you how it's set up in the paper. A veteran who dodged bullets in Iraq and Afghanistan returned home to a job as a Staten Island ferry deckhand, has been fired after a disagreement about the proper way to fly the American flag aboard the boat. While helping a colleague raise the flags earlier this month, Dan Bergen saw the New York City flag was flying at the same height as the American flag. That, he believed, was a violation of the federal flag code that requires no flag be flown higher to or higher than the stars and stripes. And I believe that, and I believe most Americans believe that. And I know of a French-owned facility in New Jersey that has an American flag and a French flag side by side, and the French flag is 1/8 of an inch lower than the American flag. Okay? So, what can I tell you? Is this a grounds for firing a patriotic employee? In accord with flag display protocol, Bergen lowered the city's blue, white, and orange flag bearing the municipal seal so that its top lined up with the bottom of the American flag. Later that day, Bergen, 32, a newlywed with 7 months on the job, said he was approached by a ferry captain who asked why he wasn't following standard operating procedures. It is my true belief that that's improper flag etiquette, Bergen explained, but the captain informed him that different rules apply at the ferry. Bergen served in a special warfare unit of the U.S. Navy and continues as a reservist. Shortly after the incident, he left for reserve duty. When he returned to work last week, during his shift on Saturday, he again lowered the city flag so that it lined top with the bottom of the American flag. I got a solution. No city flag on the ferry. We don't need it. We need only one flag on that ferry. So then they take it to page A10, and page A10, it says, and he put it at the bottom of Old Glory again, and the captain asked why the flag wasn't in the proper position and ordered Bergen to raise it back up to the top of the mast. I'm sorry, Captain, I can't do that, Bergen told his boss. Though military discipline requires letter-perfect adherence to a superior's order, Bergen said in this case he felt the captain gave him an unlawful order, and he pointed out that no one aboard the ferry was at risk due to his disobedience. Bergen said he considers the American flag, and if you go on and Google this, you'll see these words. He considers the American flag to be a living being, as it is described in federal law regarding proper flag display. I just felt it's a big disrespect to the country, the flag, the founding fathers, my family, and even myself, as well as all my men who are still over there, Bergen said. He was given an opportunity to apologize for defying the captain's orders. He said, he told the supervisor, "Sir, if I did that, I'd be saying I was wrong by apologizing, and I'm not going to touch that flag." Bergen said he later approached the captain, and instead of apologizing for his insubordination, he apologized for arguing with him in front of another colleague. "Would I change what I did?" And no, says Bergen. And God bless you, Mr. Bergen.
Sailor Bergen. And the Staten Island Ferry is in absolute accordance with shipboard of flag etiquette, Captain James D. Simone, the ferry's chief operation officer, said yesterday. Petty officer. You fire a guy for that incident, and one day Al-Qaeda's going to pull up on that ferry, and it's going to put a hole in it. And you're going to need that guy to save lives. But because he thought his flag took precedence over the orders of a petty officer, and it should cost him his job. Where do we find men like this after we get rid of them? Where do they go? Give me a little flag music. And here we got millions of dollars being thrown at us in advertising, saying what a wonderful job Mayor Bloomingdale is doing and how he saved the city. He single-handedly fights crime in New York. And he has his picture taken with a policeman. But he can't save one deckhand. He can't overrule a petty officer. While we're on the subject of lemons, what is with this limp Republican Party? The only decent guy that should be allowed to stay in office is John Thune from South Dakota. He's the only one with a conscience. Why are we getting the same old losers up there on the front lines? John McCain. This guy is a pro-life Teddy Kennedy. That's it. He's Teddy Kennedy light. Linseed Graham, I wouldn't trust him with a Boy Scout troop. Linseed Graham is not the spokesman for the opposition to the Democrats. Orrin Hatch, this guy led Ruth Bader Ginsburg to her Supreme Court seat by the hand. Mitch McConnell, he voted to burn the flag. There's nobody on the Repuppy side that can counteract the power of the Communist Party of North America. There's nobody. You got to get all new Repuppies up there. Fire them all. Newt Gingrich, he's with Al Sharpton. What's that? What's that? That's an alliance of convenience. That's terrible. I know politics makes strange bedfellows, but would you want to sleep with Al Sharpton? Or Newt Gingrich? Al Sharpton would shake you down for money, and Newt Gingrich would hurt you in bed with those horns in his helmet. Aren't you tired of all the corruption in Washington? You know what? They can't get there fast enough. Their pockets are full. They have little treasure chests they leave work with every day. They are looting the treasury. If you went down there tomorrow, you could probably cancel 27 programs not knowing anything. And you would probably save the taxpayer in a day's work. You would by canceling, just change your name to get a hold of President Cancel. That's me. Everything's canceled. You want to see the lobbyists leave Washington real quick? Put them under house arrest. Unbelievable. How can you send an email to your senator or congressman? You know what? I got to tell you this. I'm not going to say who it is, okay? But he was my congressman. And I happened to... the word got out that I had he learned by accident that I did some business with the government. And they exaggerated the contract figure. It was thousands, and they exaggerated it that this small businessman got millions, and he called up right away, and he wanted to know. He didn't call himself because he's above that. He had his flunky call, and his flunky wanted to know if they could take credit for getting the contract and announce it to the local press. How's that? Guy never did anything for me, and he got wind that I got a contract, and he wanted to take credit for it. How's that? Never raised a finger for me. I'll tell you something. I wrote him a letter. I came back from the UAE. I lined up a supplier for storage tanks for jet fuel in the UAE. It was a Dutch company. It was putting up brand new facilities. And this was just before 9/11. And I felt that the present facilities that the Navy was using were too vulnerable. They were like in a Pearl Harbor trap. And I found them a nice facility, brand new. The Dutch were putting it up, and I just happened to look in on it. And I made a friend of the manager of the facility, and there was a bid out for jet fuel storage, and I played it. I took a shot at it, and I submitted the bid, and we lost on price. And I said, well, what about security? And they said, security's not a factor. How's that? Security's not a factor. So I said, I got to contact my congressman, because I know, you know, I'm naive enough to believe that they listen to their constituents. And I called. I sent him a letter, and I got a phone call back. And you know what his first words were? What's up? So I told him the whole story. He says, yeah, okay, I'll get back to you. And that was the end of it. Wasn't important. You know why? Because he was too good trying to be a conformist with the party. But how sad, right? That was before 9/11, and security was not a factor. Only price was the factor. And if I ever told you the whole story, you'd be real sick. But I just thought I would tell you that we have nobody in the Republican Party that's representative of the people. And they don't stand. They think they're all going to get in on a sweep of Obama's misfortune and his bad judgment calls. But that's not going to happen. I got to say, I'm for dumping everybody. Dump them all. What's the worst thing that could happen? An honest man might surface? Yeah, the whole country's on a budget except the great Gatsby's. In the outhouse and the filching Senate lies the Strangle America crowd. No oil drilling here, you American peasants, but President Pinocchio Pants can introduce Kazakhstan to Canada and pocket millions in commissions tax-free. Media cover-up time, 12 hours. Al Gore was not at the GM plant closing to help the last worker load his toolbox on his GM truck. But he can get a $539 million loan from the American tax sucker to build a ghetto car in Finland that will sell for $79,000 each. Media cover-up time, 9 hours. I say the great Gatsby's gots to go. Deborah Winger was never 13. She went left into publicity. I bet you she is pro no choice. Oil should be $9.11 a barrel, no jihad taxes. Roman Polanski should get the death penalty and film it as a Western and slap that horse's ass. And that's a message we can send to our allies. Our allies! And I understand that Sarkozy has called Obama a boy. How do you say boy in French? Le beau?
Garçon.
What is it? Bonjour. Oh, I used to know. I'll look it up. I'll tell you what it is. He says that he is naive. That's a French word. Yeah, naivete. So, what was I saying? Oh yeah, Roman Polanski should get the death penalty, and oh yeah, and our European allies. I spell that U-R-O-P-E-I-N-G. The coalition of the chilling. Bush used to crack me up when he used to talk about our allies and the coalition of the willing. We have no allies. Ask Patton. Patton will tell you how many allies we got. And that was during a world war. Forget about it today. Somebody sent me pictures of England. You wouldn't believe it. Al-Qaeda's had demonstrating in the streets. You wouldn't believe the signs that they carry and get away with. If I can find them, I'll copy them down. I'll tell you what they say. It's totally shocking. You'd never believe that England was once a world power. Something to think about, and this is very disturbing. Now that the communists in the DNC are setting the stage for the assassination of the president, I'm blaming the right, who prays that never happens. I guarantee you, there's no right-winger out there that has half a brain that wants to see this president hurt. No way do they want to see this president hurt. It's the left that is fueling the fire. They don't care. He's indispensable. He's dispensable. And I'll tell you something else. If he becomes unusable, he will be discardable. And they'll be the ones who bring him down and put him to sleep like a dog. I'm telling you right now, it ain't going to come from the right. It's going to come from the left. If you don't believe me, ask Leon Trotsky how his Mexican holiday was. Stalin sent a KGB agent into Mexico to kill him, and he hacked him to death with an axe while he was sleeping in his bed. No horse's head. He was the horse's head. And that's how the Soviets deal with the people they used up. And if the left keeps promoting this right-wing terrorism against the president, will Bin Laden take the bait and Massoud, our president, making it look like a redneck did it? What a communist dream come true. Civil war, once again, a broken America. Right now, it's only split down the middle. Nah, never can happen. That would be like saying the Empire State Building went communist, and the blind Sheikh Abdul Rahman is now the governor of New York. Besides, Bin Laden has no creativity. Press the 110th floor, please. It used to be called Liberty Plaza, remember?
There may be trouble ahead, but while there's moonlight and music and love and romance, let's face the music and dance. Before the fiddlers have fled, before they ask us to pay the bill, and while we still have the chance, let's face the music and dance. Soon we'll be without the moon, humming a different tune, and then there may be teardrops to shed. So while there's moonlight and music and love and romance, let's face the music and dance. Let's face the music and dance. The moon humming a different tune, and then there may be teardrops to shed. So while there's moonlight and music and love and romance, let's face the music and dance. Let's face the music and dance.
Touch them and they burst apart with sweet memories, sweet memories of holding hands and red bouquets and twilights trimmed in purple haze and laughing eyes and simple ways and quiet nights and gentle days with you.
Press
between the pages of my mind. Memories sweeten through the ages just like wine. Memories of holding hands and red bouquets and twilights trimmed in purple haze and laughing eyes and simple ways and quiet nights and gentle days with you. Memories pressed between the pages of my mind. Memories sweeten through the ages just like wine. Memories, sweet memories.
Close the show with a tune dedicated to the troops in Afghanistan and Iraq.
Look homeward, angel. Tell me what you see. Do the folks I used to know remember me? Look homeward, angel. Find my lady fair. Does she dream about the love? No, do her empty arms still yearn for me alone? So she'll know how very much I miss her. Angel, while she's dreaming, won't you kiss her?